With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we continue now with our series of profiles of high school football coaches in the region. And I'm really happy now to bring back a longtime friend, Jeff Hutton, who is head coach at Beverly High School. Jeff, happy summer. How you doing?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Oh, you're always great. You're always so up and enthusiastic. I'm doing well. Good summer. And I guess where we usually start, Jeff, is we want to go back deep, okay? And I always relate that my first experience with football was when I was 10 years old. And I think we were living in North Carolina. My dad was in the Army. We didn't have any pro team up here way back then in 1958. And I remember watching the Washington Redskins on television with my dad because we lived in North Carolina, and that became my introduction to football. So I was 10, but the coaches I've talked with so far, they have sort of an introduction even way before that. So tell me about your experience.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, believe it or not, I never played a minute of youth football. In my hometown, and I think it still is, that they have a weight limit. So surprise, surprise, I was always too big to play youth football. But I think I remember looking through like a photo album. I was probably like 3 or 4 years old with one of those old school, Raiders helmets and like the Oakland Raider, like helmet and jersey that used to get from Sears. Like my dad was a big Raiders fan. So that was, if I would say that my earliest was like a picture of me when I was probably 4 years old in a full get out, like a Halloween costume.
Well, as a big kid, did you, were you able to play, I don't know, pick up football or pick up baseball or anything like that before you hit high school?
Yeah, I mean, I played soccer until I was in eighth grade, obviously, goalie, forward. I lived on a street, like, my hometown is a pretty small town, and most of my relatives are still within, like, a five-mile radius of each other. We lived on a dead-end street with 3 or 4 cousins who were older than me, so, and I was the same size as them, so they did a great job of beating the snot out of me and making me actually ready to play real football. So.
Oh, that's great. I remember the days of pickup games. We played whatever game we could invent just to be out there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so your earliest connection then to organized football.
Well, it was my first practice of my freshman year. That was the first time that had anything organized, per se.
And where was this?
My hometown is Millville, New Jersey. It's a little podunk town, you know, kind of a little bit of everything. It's like an old glass factory town. Like, we had one of the oldest glass factories in the country, which really housed kind of like with like a Lowell or one of those like mill towns. And then when that was going good, the town was great. And then most of those businesses have collapsed or moved. And now the town is kind of like low economic now. So it hasn't been a great turn, but they got great football there right now. So
this far along for me, I can still remember way back when I was in high school as a freshman, and I went to school in Texas, trying out on that first day. And of course, it was August, double sessions, 110 degrees, and I'm surrounded by these. You know, I was a freshman, and these guys were just huge. You know, the upperclassmen. Do you remember what it was like early on when you first started?
Yeah, the good thing is I was one of the biggest kids, so you know, but with that comes some pressure and responsibility, right? Like, look at this kid, he must know how to play football, he must be good at football just because he's big. And you know, I was fine, but I wasn't like polished by any means. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was fun, and you know, most of the kids I played with had already been playing since they were like in second and third grade,
right?
So I was a little intimidated, I guess, not so much like because of the size, but not knowing what to expect.
Yeah,
you're
looking at it a much different angle.
And it worked out for me.
That's a much different angle than me, because I'm a little guy. So I was always intimidated, and still am. when'd you make varsity, and where'd you play?
So I didn't make varsity until my junior year. My high school was in the same classification. We were the highest, we had a biggest school. In one of the bigger schools in South Jersey. So we were like Division I here in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So we had a pretty good squad, good guys. My sophomore year, I did a little bit of like special teams, but I didn't letter. So I didn't start offensive line until my junior year, and then I started both ways as a senior.
What'd you like better, offense or defense?
I just didn't want to come off the field. I could care less. my sophomore year, Rick, and I used this as an example, like I knew I wasn't going to play varsity offense or defense because our offensive line averaged like 320 pounds, right? And I'm only 195, 200 pounds at that point. Mm-hmm. So I taught myself, I went to a camp to learn how to kick and long snap and punt. So I got a couple kicks in when the running back was tired from a long run. I got a couple long snaps. I hopped on special teams, and I'm like, how many of you guys that I coach, like I use it all the time, like would do something like that just to play on Friday night?
And
you know,
I
like that was my way. I saw that I could get in a game my junior, my sophomore year. Like, what can I do to possibly get on the field?
I think also I see the beginnings of coaching right there. Because you're learning the game from every angle.
Yeah. Well, and that's like my senior year. I was, I did kickoffs. I did extra points. I tried to sneak in anytime I could. My coach would get mad when he was trying to put other guys in. I'm like, I don't want to come off the field, coach. I want to stay in. So.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Yeah. What do you remember about some of your closest teammates?
Oh, from high school? We still keep in touch. You know, like a lot of the guys I played with went and played college football. A couple guys walked on some big places. One of my friends who was a year ahead of me walked on at Nebraska.
Wow.
Ended up winning a national title, and he's got a ring, and now he's like a superintendent of one of the tech schools down in our area. So he used that as a nice little springboard to do that. I had a couple kids that played. You know, I got a full scholarship. I had a couple other guys that went and played D1 football. So it was we had a pretty good team.
I would say.
It was a pretty good competition down there, you know. So it was,
yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, my God. So after high school, what?
So I went to BU on a full scholarship to play football. I was originally told I was going to – this is a funny story. I was originally told I was going to redshirt my freshman year. So, but I made the travel squad. Like, I was the emergency tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So game three, it's our first home game. We're 0-2 at this point, and it's a new coach, new transition. So we were like, okay, youth movement. It was like second half. I'm hanging out on the sideline. My parents are in the stands, right? First time they've come up to see me. And everyone's yelling for me. I'm like, what'd I do? Like, what did I do wrong? Like, I'm just standing here watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up to my O-line coach because he's looking for me. And he just happens to be a guy named Dave DiGuglielmo, mm-hmm. the O-line coach for the Patriots, the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
He was an O-line coach for BC just recently. And he's like, you're in next play. And I'm like, coach, I thought I was redshirt. And he goes, if your ass isn't in there on the next play, I'm putting on the next plane back to New Jersey. I'm like, I'm in, coach.
That was it.
Like, from that moment on, I was in the rotation, and by the end of the season, I was starting at left tackle.
Wow.
And then they canceled the program my sophomore year.
Oh, is that when it was?
At least I got my 1 year of playing, and I got to be a student for free for the last 2.5. So.
Yeah, I remember that, how disappointed everybody was about that whole deal, because that was a great, you know, great school in town and stuff. Okay, so what did you do after that? And before I ask you that, let me ask you about, you mentioned one of your coaches. Are there other coaches that you played for or have been associated with that have left kind of an influence on you?
Sure. Well, like my high school coach is in the New Jersey State Coaches Hall of Fame, a guy named Tony Cerise. And he still emails me. We talk. I send him newspaper clippings. So he keeps involved. He wants to know how it's going. His son, he has two sons. His oldest son is now the head coach at Princeton. And I wish I had some guys I could send there, athletically and academically.
Yep, I get it.
We're working on it.
That's right, student athletes.
That's not a bad pipeline to have, you know, it's a good connection.
Yeah.
And his other son had coached all over the place. He had coached at Franklin Pierce, Northeastern, and, you know, so they all played, they all coached. It's a great influence, and all, like you said, Rick, all of my teachers were my coaches as well. They were all in the building. They were all, I could see them all the time, and, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. Most of them had coached together for 25-plus years, and you could tell. And you know, that's something that we kind of had when Dan Bauer was here at Beverly. We were all together for at least 10, 12 years, and it shows, like, that continuity and the consistency and each of us knowing each other. Worked out pretty good.
Well, I'm sensing the Dan Bauer tree here because Bill Newell just talked with Jim Rudloff the other day in a coach's profile.
Right.
And Coach Rudloff was just effusive about his praise of working with you guys and with and Bauer as the head coach.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, Dan was great. He's like, really smart. Like, I don't know if people give him all the credit. Like, he was like an unbelievable genius with football. And the one thing that I respect Dan the most was as a young coach, he was like, okay, do what you want, but be ready to explain why. You know, like, I'll never tell you no, I'll ask why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, like, really made, like, a young coach like myself, like, really challenge and push and really try to like come up with things that I think would work. And if they liked it, let's do it, you know. But it was the opportunity that he allowed us to kind of be our own coach and to try and figure it out on our own.
Yeah, great learning experience, great teaching.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that's tremendous. Jeff, what are your strengths? I mean, I know when Terry Silva was coaching Gloucester High School way back, tremendous line coach, and he had great assistant coaches around him. Paul Ingram was a quarterback coach, an offensive coach for many, many years before he became head coach. What are your strengths? No, and before we even get to that, how did you get into coaching?
Well, after I finished college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Even though I had a degree in teaching, I was, you know, like most 21-year-olds, I was living in Boston, working at a bar, making a lot of money cash, and I was working at a gym. Like, that was the closest I was using my degree for, like personal training. And I got a phone call to interview for the Beverly, like a middle school PE job and a freshman football coaching job. And I was like, all right, I'll come try it out. We'll see what it is. And here I am. Like, that's how I got into coaching.
I love it. And
it just worked out that way.
Excellent.
And I've been a part of the North Shore ever since. Like, I got out of school in 2000 and been teaching and coaching since then.
That's tremendous. And when you first started, football is an ongoing learning experience, I guess, like most things are. But when you started, what were you really good at?
What I was really good at was asking I was the freshman coach with Dave Wilbur for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really good at asking Dave why the kids couldn't do simple things.
Mm.
He was telling me, like, Jeff, like, you just got done playing Division I football, right? Like, the things that were easy for you, you got to realize some of these freshmen can't tie their shoes yet, you know. And it was like, that was like, if there was ever like one thing, you know, my high school coaches were great influences, right? But Dave Wilbur, I would put, like, if I ever make it anywhere in this coaching world, it's because of Dave Wilbur and the things I learned in just those 3 years being down with him at the freshman level.
Yeah, just interviewing him from time to time, I can't believe how much I don't know about sports that he would explain whatever he was coaching. My goodness. Well, as you go along, what's gotten easier for you as a coach? Because I know as a teacher and as a coach, especially football is an emotional as well as a physical game. And teaching is an emotional day job. But what's gotten easier for you as a coach from when you first started as head coach to where you are now?
I think the easy thing now is just being more organized, right? Like, taking care of all the other things that aren't football or X and O related. Like, they don't tell you all that. Everybody wants to be a head coach, right? They all think they can do it. And then you realize the more you're the head coach, the less X's and O's stuff you have to deal with. Like, the other stuff is, you know, bigger than just the actual football. So I think at this point now, right, 7, 8 years now, I've kind of like been able to like compartmentalize and figure those things out, so the X's and O's are like by itself instead of all of it at the same time.
How do you keep up with change? In other words, I mean, there must be changes in the physical regimen, in the rules, in how kids learn. How do you keep up with all, and for the game itself, how do you keep up with all that?
Well, I mean, we go to clinics, right? Tons of clinics, watching videos, memberships, you know, there's tons of places now. There's so many more resources now. You know, some of them are great and some are just fluff, but, you know, but for the most part, and I think colleges and that they're more willing now to like share and invite you and give you information, you know, that gets, and it's, you know, now that some of them, you know, I think in the past, maybe there was that like, we're up here and you're down here. Mm-hmm. And now they've been more welcoming. Right?
Oh, okay. Yep.
You know, I think that helps us tremendously. You know, I've got some of my former students that are, you know, college coaches, and they're more than happy to like, hey, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Come watch this. Come sit down with us. You know, and I don't think that was something that was prevalent. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I wasn't a head coach. So I've been a head coach. Like, a lot of teams have reached out, and mm-hmm. I think that's huge for us. You know, that keeps us ahead of the curve too, you know?
Absolutely. Now, is there a game that has influenced you in any way, either that you've coached or that you've watched, whether it's on TV, college, in person, scouting, whatever? Is there a particular game that you came away with something like, oh, this looks good, or I could use this, or I would never do that? Is there any game like that?
I mean, you know what's funny? And that's where, like, I think young coaches kind of get in trouble, where, like, you watch, like, a Patriots game or, like, a Georgia or Alabama, you're like, wow, that play is awesome. And then they play Madden football, and then they think, how can I use this in my football team, you know, or they think they have all the answers, and you forget that there's 11 kids on the field at the same time, you know, like it's not just seven on sevens all the time. So I would say that, I guess, but I don't know. Sorry, ask that question again. What game? Okay, one game that influenced me as a coach would have to be, what was it, 2008, 2009-ish? 9-1 Gloucester versus 8-1 Beverly, Friday night up there, like that. If you didn't have a pulse, you weren't sure you liked high school football, then that would change your mind 100%.
Okay.
That was the goal line stand.
Yep.
And then the phantom, you know, from the Beverly side, the phantom pass interference on fourth down to give Gloucester an untimed play. Still stuffed them, so.
Oh,
that
yes.
Was fun. That
yes.
Was, I mean, the Super Bowls were great. And they all had drama, but that game right there, because we had gone through 7 years, like since I got here, where we hadn't had a winning season, and the year before was 5-5, and we felt like we were climbing, and then to finish that year 9-1 was just like, all right, we're here now, like we've reached where we should be.
Is that the game where Gloucester had like a minute left when they got the ball?
Yeah, they went right down the field. They hadn't thrown the ball. They hadn't thrown the ball all year.
I remember that. They had,
right down the field.
And they had,
know what to do.
They had no time.
They were so shocked and surprised.
And they had no timeouts left. And,
none.
The kid who caught the pass in the end zone ended up in my class, and he's still talking about it all these years later.
I bet. No, like, our kids are still talking about it. I mean, I'm still talking about it. One of our coaches went back in the morning or at night or whatever, like went into the end zone and scooped up some of the dirt and like gave each of us like a little, like a film capsule of like all the end zone dirt. It says goal line, Gloucester, whatever. So I still have it in my basement.
Oh, well.
It's dusty and everything. Still there.
Okay, that's quite a memento. Oh,
yeah.
Man. I guess the final topic, Jeff, is I know that football is 365 for coaches. You're doing it all year round. You're counseling kids. You're working to get them in shape and you know, trying to express how much the love you have for the game. So, at this today, on this Monday, before training camp starts and all that other stuff, what's on your mind about your team? What's the first thing you've been thinking about today about Beverly High School football?
I just want them to compete this year. I don't think at times we did that, you know, and I think that's the one thing that if, you know, that was kind of like the hallmark I felt. Like you'd ask what my strengths were or what, and I didn't really answer that. But I think if you watched us when we were in Manchester, right, we were outnumbered when we were still in the Cape Ann. We had no chance to beat those Linfield teams with 70 kids on the sideline while they're 22, you know. But, you know, when their coaches would tell you or they'd see you like, man, you guys are freaking tough. And they're like, I don't know how you do it, right? How are you competitive with those numbers? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when they tell their kids, like, guys, listen, like, don't take this team lightly. Like, they're going to hit you. They're going to be ready. They're going to be prepared. And I think that's what you didn't see enough of last year. So I think if you're saying what's the strength, I think that's it. Like, I think we, you know, as a staff, do a really good job of making our kids believe that they're better than they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and I think that's huge, right? That's the, you know, optimist in me, as you say, right? Like, if you don't have that, then you're always going to be looking for the other shoe to fall, or like the half empty instead of the half full. So.
Well, I know the coaches, the really good coaches and successful, and I don't necessarily mean winning records, but those are the coaches who do what you just said, make every kid feel important
they all have to be a part of the program.
Exactly.
Like, you have a role and it's important.
All right.
No one is bigger or better than the program.
Well, Jeff, I look forward to talking with you in a couple of weeks about the kids, but thank you for taking the time today. It's a pleasure learning about you.
Oh, excellent, Rick. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Be well.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. That's Jeff Hutton, who is the Beverly High School football coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.